This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tom Simmons. He is the Area Vice President for Citrix U.S. Public Sector. Tom, how are you today?
Doing great, John. Thanks.
Great. Citrix, C-I-T-R-I-X, with the funny upside down I. I think everyone knows them. They've heard about them. They may be confused as what exactly they do, they don't do. I figure it's about time to bring Tom back in the studio and keep our listeners up to date with some of the new offerings that Citrix has in the federal area. But before we begin, you know, everyone wonders, how'd you wind up at Citrix? Why Citrix, Tom? Maybe just a little thumbnail background for our listeners so they can maybe push you in perspective of why you wound up here.
Well, 25 years ago when I got out of college, I was looking in a crystal ball saying in 2012, virtualization is going to be where it's at. And this little company that was just starting called Citrix is where I wanted to be.
Wow.
Seriously.
Pretty good ESP.
It's my career in information technology is probably pretty typical. I got into the edges of information technology working at Western Union. From Western Union to Hayes, the enabler of computer communication over telephone lines.
H-A-Y-E-S for the youngsters listening.
Out of Norcross, Georgia. And with my association at Hayes, I got to meet some of the folks at this Texas computer company and spent 7 years after Hayes at Compaq. Watching the distributed computing create requirements for servers all over the government, desktops, the introduction of laptops, and the early mobility concept for computing. After 8 years almost at Compaq, I decided it was time to expand my resume a bit and get some software experience. So I left and went to a software company here in Rockville. From there, worked a reseller organization at Micro Warehouse to build a public sector practice. A couple of years in the security software industry with Trend Micro. And a friend of mine from my days at Hayes was part of the Citrix organization here in D.C. and invited me to come in and look at what they were doing. He was looking for some help at building a rapidly growing sales organization. So in the summer of 2005, I joined Citrix, and it's been a wonderful ride for the last 7 years.
And Citrix has been around since 89. They're doing $2 billion in sales. I mean, this is a reasonable growth for the last 20 years. I think it's a pretty good company. They're doing something right or lucky. And you know, when you talk about these companies like Hayes, I remember the Hayes 300 baud modem. When you talk about Trend Micro, I think of China and I used to know those people who'd write those antivirus signatures. And when I think of Citrix, to tell you the truth, I think of Florida and I think of OS2 and Microsoft and what was going on back many years ago when IBM opened up a big think tank in Florida and then they developed some code down there and Citrix opened up. And obviously it's a play on words with being in Florida. And from that rather humble beginning, they expanded and expanded and expanded. And now they're in so many different key markets for the federal government, aren't they?
Absolutely. And you know, your synopsis of our history is right on. And today, we're an interesting cultural company. We still have a lot of the elements of that small South Florida beginnings. And early on, it was a vision around how do we provide remote access to the operating systems of the day. It was, as you said, OS2 and the early days of Microsoft Windows. And we've grown, still headquartered in South Florida with a West Coast headquarters in Santa Clara. But as a $2 billion company, there's still a lot of the family and belonging elements that go back to Citrix of the early 90s.
So Citrix has now evolved from being a rather small player to now competing with the big dogs like IBM, like, you know, Microsoft in the area of virtualization. So you've gone from being just a has-been nothing to a major force in this area, especially in the world of virtualization and desktop and telework and all kinds of different aspects that are interested to my listeners. Let's just talk a little about virtualization and when Citrix got involved in virtualization and what kind of federal presence it has.
So Citrix from the get-go was the beginnings of virtualization from an application perspective. What we would do was take a client-server application, host it on a server behind the firewall, and then provide remote access through the firewall with authentication and all that to an application that would normally run as a client-server pushing data across the wire and so forth. Today, we've grown organically that beginnings of our technology, and through acquisitions, the strategic acquisition that really made a lot of this possible was Zensource. 4 years ago. But today we offer server virtualization, combining workloads on a single piece of hardware in the data center, desktop virtualization, which really is nothing more than making a desktop work environment available, hosted and managed from a data center to remote devices, whether it's on the network or in the cloud. Application virtualization, which is kind of our core, that goes back to the days of providing all of the functionality of a client server or PC application without having to run that application on local resources. And then networking capabilities around global server load balancing and application firewalling and WAN optimization and the like. A lot of that good technical jargon that your listeners are very aware of.
You know, some of my listeners are familiar with Citrix. Some of my listeners go back years when In the late 70s, IBM was pushing this stuff called VMS, virtual memory, and so this virtualization is really nothing new. I mean, it's you know, Citrix could have failed. Citrix could have been another failure in South Florida. There's plenty of those. I used to live down there. I've seen many of those. But I think what they did is they looked at this virtualization area, and they decided, let's focus in on networking and virtualization and then expand it in the cloud here because it got more and more popular. But I think what it's done is it's managed to overcome some of the issues that I would think conceptually I would have with a virtual desktop, issues like bandwidth, issues like security. But if you have a strong foundation and going back and forth as client-server, you can make that transition to a cloud environment, but a whole lot more headaches involved.
Absolutely. And I think to your comment, the success that Citrix has enjoyed in the marketplace has to do to a great deal with sticking to our knitting. We know what we do well. We've developed technologies that have real practical application in the marketplace. And we have grown steadily over the course of our history. We've seen dramatic growth in the last 4 years. We have a project X5 that we're working towards now to go from a $2 billion company to a $5 billion company by the end of 2015. I think most of the analysts say that given what we have in our portfolio today, $4 billion in revenue at that point in time is very doable. And the speculation is there'll have to be an acquisition to close that gap to $5 billion. But going back, Citrix has been very diligent about sticking to the things that we do well. Secure remote access to information technology resources delivered on demand as a service, and augmenting that capability with networking technologies, with software as a service, and then with the tools to be able to allow users ultimate performance, and IT managers the ability to manage, maintain, and optimize the environments.
See, folks, have gotten so big, you have an annual conference where people get together and talk about issues and concerns and questions, and what about mobile, what about teleworking, and coming up next week, is that right?
Twice a year, we get all of our customers, developers, technology partners together in San Francisco in May, and then in October, the European version of that's in Barcelona. But yeah, we're expecting a big crowd. Our public sector market has, our participation in this year's San Francisco conference is up substantially over last year. Even with all the restrictions on travel and constraints on budget, we've seen dramatic growth. And I think that just speaks to the relevance of our solutions to the problems that the public sector IT managers are trying to solve.
If my listeners have bosses twisting their arms to you know, reduced number of servers, then their bosses are telling them to be more secure, and their bosses are telling them to do with less money. I don't know what choice they have besides going to, is it called Synergy? Is that the conference?
Synergy, exactly.
S-Y-N-E-R-G-Y. So you can type that in and learn about it. I'm sure there'll be a lot of stuff online if you want to listen to it.
At Citrix.com, you can go to Citrix TV, and the keynotes will be streamed live and stored for on-demand access later on, and a lot of the key sessions will be available online.
Yeah, I like to do that, and I like to face-to-face when I have a specific question. If I want to reach out and grab someone and say, hey, buddy, tell me about this specific piece of hardware and your software, and you can grab people there.
Absolutely.
And I would say, don't throw in money unless you've got some specific question, but many of my listeners might.
And I think the other benefit to the face-to-face interaction that goes on at Synergy is all of our senior execs, you know, from sales to product development to mergers and acquisitions are all there, and they're all very available.
You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Got to take a quick break. When we come back, we speak more with Tom Simmons, who is the Area Vice President for Citrix U.S. Public Sector.
Vacation time is right around the corner. Why worry about the safety of your home while you're away?
I had Ackerman Security install a system 2 years ago. Now I leave for vacations with total peace of mind. I know I can trust an Ackerman Certified Monitoring Center. They don't use a third-party monitoring company like most companies, and it's only $18.95 a month.
Call today and get 2 free months of Ackerman's award-winning basic monitoring. 888-999-1070. AckermanSecurity.com. What is the strategic vision for today's U.S. Air Force? How is the Air Force managing in an era of fiscal constraint? What is the Air Force doing to improve its operations and become more efficient and agile? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and much more with his very special guest, Aaron Connaughton, Undersecretary of the U.S. Air Force, next week on the Business of Government Hour.
Here's Dr. Robert Norris, Chief Architect, NGA, on the Federal Executive Forum on Virtualization, sponsored by Red Hat.
Data can't go into the clouds unless it's correctly tagged. And NGA, as part of its new vision, has actually had a geospatial data architecture management initiative going on. And one of the things that we're doing is making sure that not only is the data correctly tagged, but we're coming up with new ways of tagging the information.
Listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group. Log on to federalnewsradio.com.
There are a lot of virtualization solutions out there from proprietary companies, but they are expensive and lock you into long-term relationships with vendors that you might not want. But Red Hat Enterprise Virtualization is a highly secure open-source platform for mission-critical workloads. Red Hat technology is based on open standards, so your IT future still belongs to you. And if you're ready to start cloud computing, this is the way to do it. 90% of public clouds already run on open source. This is Paul Smith from Red Hat, and if you want to learn more from the open source leader, check us out at redhat.com/virtualize.
Attention federal employees. Are you a new manager looking to develop your leadership skills or a senior leader preparing to join the senior executive service? If so, the George Washington University Center for Excellence in Public Leadership can help prepare you. With more than 15 years of experience providing professional development to federal government employees, they understand the challenges you face as a public leader. The center's variety of courses geared to specific GS levels will help you enhance your abilities and advance your career. And with a full schedule of classes offered year-round, you are sure to find a date and time that is convenient for you. For more information or to register for a course, please visit leadership-programs.org. That's leadership-programs.org or call 202-994-9522. That's 202-994-9522.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show, Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, dietary supplements, nutrition, and healthy living. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Visit myvillagegreen.com, listen to past shows, and discover other healthy living resources. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Zymogen and Metagenics.
Join the Association for Federal Information Resources Management Awards Luncheon and celebrate as they applaud achievement in the federal IT community. The annual Affirm Leadership Awards recognize individuals and groups who are leading innovation in government. The awards will be given out on Thursday, June 14th, 2012, at the Affirm Leadership Awards Luncheon
at the Capitol Hilton, 1001 16th Street Northwest, Washington, D.C. Register today at affirm.org.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tom Simmons, who is the Area Vice President for Citrix U.S. Public Sector. Citrix is every place. I mean, I'm sure most of my listeners understand Citrix and virtualization. They think of servers and server virtualization. And I guess informally, what I've seen in the last 4 or 5 years is, well, geez, no, a lot of servers have been virtualized and a lot of servers have been reduced. But it kind of gets stagnated there for a little bit. Now people start bringing in tablets and iPads and everything else. And all of a sudden, the interest in virtual desktops is getting more and more important. And when I read about virtual desktops, I don't have a strong technical background, but it would seem to me that if you had 50 people in a dorm room and they flushed the toilet at the same time, you may have plumbing problems. As you have 500 people in an agency and they all show up for work at 8 a.m., they turn on their computer and use a virtual device, that seems to me it might strain the system. Is this not clear thinking?
So it's a logical assumption to make, but I think if you dig under what really happens today when 5,000 of those people show up and they're all on a physical desktop, versus what happens when 5,000 folks come to a thin client and turn on their system. Today, with a PC sitting under your desk, 5,000 people come in, they show up, they all turn their PCs on at the same time. There's a huge spike in network demand because all of that logon information goes across the wire to the remote PC.
It's old school client server stuff.
Absolutely. One of the first applications that comes up when a user turns on his PC is mail. And today, we're not just looking at mail that's on the server. We're replicating that mail. So we're pushing all of that email with all of the big attachments across the wire, usually at boot. So in a well-managed physical PC environment today, demand for bandwidth is tremendous at the start of a day, right before lunch, right after lunch, and then right before we go home. Now, compare that to a virtual environment. I've got a thin client PC or a thin zero client device on my desktop. When I turn that on, I'm seeing a screen that's presented from the data center. It's nothing but a bunch of pixels. I put in my logon information. I authenticate to the network. Then I see my desktop that's hosted in the data center. So all that's going across the network infrastructure is an ICA protocol, a very thin protocol that's giving me a window into what's taking place in the data center. I'm not pushing volumes of data across the network. All that data stays behind the firewall in the server room, where it's more efficiently processed on server technology rather than remote desktop technology. Now, there are the odd implementations of our technology where, because I've got a high-performance audio-visual app, that I might want to push elements of that application for local processing, like rendering of videos from a local machine or something like that. But even in those scenarios, we're finding that the network bandwidth requirements are reduced from the average implementation of a well-managed physical PC today.
You tossed out a couple terms there. Some of my listeners know what they are. You talked about the thin client and the zero client. And I have to quote the famous computer pioneer Wallace Simpson, who once said that you can never be too rich and you can never be too thin.
Correct.
So you got thin clients and you got zero clients. Is this Wallace Simpson, someone being really? I mean, what is the difference between a zero client and a thin client?
So, you know, for the average user, it's probably not much. But for the network manager and for the IT manager of that client device, it's pretty significant. If you go back to the old days of a 3270 dumb terminal, that was really a zero client. There was nothing on that remote device. It got everything, including its power, from the mainframe. Today, we've got years of experience with thin clients that usually have an embedded OS and one or two local applications like a browser that run on the client device. This creates issues around security because I've got resident information that doesn't necessarily go away. I've got to update and manage that embedded operating system. I've got to
patch
it. If I've got an embedded web browser, I've got to be able to defend against viruses and the like on that embedded opportunity. So the evolution has gone to zero client, which goes back to the concept of the 3270 dumb terminal. A zero client has very little resident other than what it takes to bring up the screen, attach the keyboard and mouse, and connect back to the network. Everything else, all of the smarts, is coming from the network server infrastructure.
Last quarter, Apple sold $39 billion worth of product. They could buy T-Mobile. They sold some. I mean, incredible amount of sales. Inevitably, people who are listening have tablets. So does a zero client, a thin client, make life easier for them or hard for them? Or how does your technology work with these tablets?
So that's a great question, John. And I think it's key to the overall enterprise architecture that organizations have to look at. Thin client is an application of virtual computing technology. Tablet PCs, or what we call executive mobility, is another application of virtual computing infrastructure. You've got just general mobility. I want to access my workspace from a traditional laptop over my home network provider. All of these are different applications of virtual computing technologies. If I build my infrastructure as an application delivery infrastructure, I'm packaging the operating system, I'm building my desktop, I'm incorporating my application suite, all in the data center. I'm managing, patching, upgrading, revving, monitoring, charging back in some cases. Then, once I've got that application delivery infrastructure in the data center, a zero client implementation is a logical connection to that. It's just that. It's ability to connect to that infrastructure. If I have an iPad or an Android tablet or a Windows tablet, and I want to be able to connect to that virtual workspace in the data center, same concept. I have a different interface on my device, but once I log into my desktop, what I see, how I interact with my operating system and my applications, is identical. So I don't have to learn a different way of doing things if I'm on a tablet versus on my zero client in the office versus on my laptop from home or on the road.
Well, that's the logical step here. It's like, no, I have to have my desktop computer with my keyboard and my little fuzzy things and a mouse pad and I'm real happy and I can't do any work because I have to be all secure. Well, if I can use a zero client, it makes things easier for me. I would be able to work from my home just as easy from the office. So this frees up. So it takes the technology and says, well, logically, then you should be able to do this remotely because you're, in fact, doing it remotely at your office. So this allows for more telework flexibility.
Absolutely. In fact, that's a lot of the conversations that we get into with our public sector clients is we'll go in and we'll have a conversation because they want to implement a cost reduction policy around migrating from PCs to zero clients. And in that conversation, we say, well, what about your smartphone plans and implementations down the road? Are you going to issue smartphones that will provide access to your IT consumers to all or some of the app suite that they currently access from their fat PC today? Well, sure, we want to do that. Well, what about telework? How do you provide access to the remote workers that either choose to work from home or have to work from home in a event, a snowstorm, a flood, whatever.
Or they're doing remote data collection.
Exactly. I mean,
there's situations like that.
So, you know, we get back to, if you start with the application delivery infrastructure in mind, all of these different scenarios for what my client device is going to look like and how I'm going to use that client device, they all become assumed in that enterprise architecture for my data center.
It answers the question before it's asked.
Exactly.
Says, well, why worry? Because it's all going to be the same.
Yep.
Back in November, Citrix did a survey and it found that 90% of enterprise people were using non-company provided tools like tablets and doing work on them.
Yep.
And I can't see why federal agencies aren't any different from this. I mean, so if you're challenged with trying to manage this, at least you have to take a look at what Citrix has to offer and say, well, maybe this is a solution that works for us.
Absolutely. And, you know, the success that Apple has had with the iPad, but, you know, there's a myriad of other tablet devices that are out there. I saw a review just recently about 9, and the lowest grade for government performance was a B out of a ABCDF. So the evaluator, Government Computer News, was saying all of these have application in government. But we don't see a whole lot of government programs or policy today where the government will buy these devices, incorporate them in the infrastructure and provide them to the execs or the IT consumers as yet.
We're going to have to take a quick break to talk more about virtualization and virtual desktop. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Tom Simmons. He works for Citrix, and he is the U.S. Public Sector Specialist.
The Pentagon and Beyond is brought to you by EADS North America.
A congressional committee has unveiled a $608 billion defense spending bill that restores some of the money and programs the Pentagon wanted to cut next year, and it provides nearly $1 billion for Israeli defense programs. The House Appropriations Committee released the bill that includes $519 billion for the 2013 base budget and $88.5 billion for the war in Afghanistan and other counterterrorism activities. I'm J.J. Green.
911, what's your emergency?
Every day, EADS North America supports homeland security and defense missions here at home and around the globe. Whether it's responding to emergencies or disasters, providing military helicopters, or systems that patrol and secure our borders and coastlines, EADS North America delivers on our promises every day. EADS North America. Commitment defines us.
The Federal Drive is sponsored by Learning Tree International.
Learning Tree International is the number one provider of IT classroom training to the federal government. They provide high-quality, instructor-led IT and management training to government professionals and contractors at all levels. Call 1-800-THE-TREE or enroll today at learningtree.com/gov. That's learningtree.com/gov.
The Federal Drive, brought to you by Learning Tree International, airs weekday mornings from 6 to 10 and online at federalnewsradio.com.
Rock that fanny pack, wearing those khakis last.
Kevin,
yeah?
What are you doing?
Just singing this sweet tune I heard on the radio this morning.
We need to get you HD radio, man. Those are not the lyrics. If you were listening to that song in my Kia Optima with the UVO infotainment system and HD radio, you'd hear all the lyrics with crystal clear digital sound quality. Plus the artist and song title even display on my UVO screen.
Then let's go for a ride and hope the fanny pack song comes on.
Voice-activated UVO infotainment system with HD radio, now available in the Kia Optima.
This is Lisa Millman from AFMA. For military service members and veterans, there's no better place to go for your life insurance needs than AFMA. Our level term to age 50 policy is only $19 per month for $400,000 of coverage, and every member's policy comes with AFMA's unique survivor assistance services. For a free life insurance quote, call a membership coordinator at 1-877-398-2263 or visit AFMA.com. That's AAFMAA.com.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Today is the day to make the switch to decide you're going to choose to save money with Ackerman Security Systems.
I was looking at ways to reduce expenses at home. I checked my alarm monitoring bill and wow, I made the switch to Ackerman with no cost to switch and only $18.95 a month. Now I save $25 a month. That's $300 a year.
Why wait? Call Ackerman today and receive 2 months of basic monitoring free. Call 888-999-1070 or AckermanSecurity.com.
Here's your chance to get out for some fun. Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News.
Last year, we got a lot of good feedback about the Virginia Renaissance Festival. This year, it runs the weekends from May 12th through June the 10th. And this year's festival takes you back to the time of Queen Elizabeth I. On the grounds of the Lake Anna Winery near Fredericksburg is where it takes place. So it's a good day trip, actually, from the Washington area. You can see page 32 of the May Recreation News or check out the details on recreationnews.com.
Keeping to the Renaissance theme, you have a Shakespeare play coming up.
That's right. This is a pretty unusual pay-what-you-can opportunity to see the very funny Taming of the Shrew. The only theater in Montgomery County is presenting this as a pay-what-you-can general admission opportunity to see some Shakespeare. It takes place at 7:30 p.m. on May 10th and 11th. You can check it all out at onlytheater.com.
Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News. I'm Ruben Gomez.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tom Simmons, Area Vice President, Citrix U.S. Public Sector, talking about virtualization of servers, virtualization of the desktop, and all these tablets coming in and trying to manage this, trying to manage that. Well, you know, if you're sitting in the metro talking to someone about this, they're never going to turn to you and say, okay, Tom, show me, you know, give me a, for instance, give me an example of where Citrix has gone in and helped an agency solve a tricky problem.
Absolutely. You know, in the last segment, we were talking about the general policy for most agencies that they haven't gotten to the point yet where they're buying tablet devices or these alternate computing devices and issuing them to the IT consumers. But the VA is a very interesting pilot project that is a huge success in the early stages. They are issuing iPads to clinicians and providing a view of a patient's record in their system called Vista from an iPad device. None of the data goes across the network to reside on that device. It's all kept behind the firewall in their secure data centers. Clinicians can view patient records, can look at MRIs and X-rays and imaging kinds of technologies in very high definition. They can make patient notes and input things into that record. But once that session is ended, there's no remnants, no data, no violation of HIPAA requirements or anything like that resident on that device. So this is just one very interesting and appropriate application of this virtual desktop technology where I've got it all secured and managed in the data center. And once it's there, I can provide it to a myriad of different devices. In addition to the iPad pilot that they have going on, they're delivering the same virtual desktop capability to zero clients in their office infrastructure. So you got folks that, rather than doing the work of a clinician, they have to do their general day-to-day office work. And they're accessing the same infrastructure with the same kind of security capabilities from a zero client.
You know, Tom, this is a white-hot topic there. When you're speaking, I'm thinking about this old song about New York City, and it goes, was it Frank Sinatra said, if I can make it there, I can make it anywhere in New York City. Let me tell you something. If you can make it at the VA, you certainly can make it in a civilian agency, because think about what's going on at the VA. And I mean, tons and tons of records. They have to be secure. They have a lot of compliance requirements that other agencies don't have.
Absolutely.
And so it's almost like playing in the NFL and then playing around with the neighbors in the backyard. I mean, if you're in the NFL getting hit by a 350-pound guy, that's what the VA is all about. They have to be very careful about that. I mean, I keep thinking of what they call charting and recording information. What the scenario you played out was they can use an iPad, and what if they lose the iPad? It's nothing on there anyway, because it's all sitting in a server somewhere. So it solves a lot of the problems. When they go into hospitals, they do surveys. 80% of physicians, surveys talk about, want to use some kind of portable device. Same thing in the VA. But there's so many more challenges because of their hands are being tied, and they have to be transparent. So they have this blue button initiative going on there. So they have to release some information. So you have to be transparent, but just kind of transparent. You got to be secure, but you got to be very secure. So I think the degree of difficulty there is very tough.
It is. And, you know, the VA, they've got a world-class organization that has not only developed and implemented a lot of the technology, but the security requirements around that technology. They've learned the hard way in a lot of cases. I think the last time that you and I were talking, we talked about, 7 years ago, a contractor at the VA trying to do the right thing, get his job done on time and under budget, taking a laptop home, and that laptop got stolen. And there was a lot of patient information, username, social security number, date of birth kinds of things. And the VA had to spend millions of dollars to notify the veterans and to monitor their credit and all that. We find out that that data was never really compromised, but the fact that the data was resident on the device and that device got misplaced made it vulnerable. And I think from that event, you've seen an evolution not only of policy, but of technology implementation to try to user-proof, or my term, people-proof, the implementation of technology and security policy. If it's not on the device, it's not vulnerable. The only thing that I have to pay attention to is who's looking over my shoulder.
You know, some people say BYOD stands for bring your own disaster. Well, you got to disaster-proof your system somehow, and this is one way to look at it.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the beauties of bring your own device, especially in the world of tablets and smartphones and things like that, is the explosion of applications that are written for those devices. We're seeing today organizations like DOD go out and provide incentives for users within the community and within industry to write applications that will make those devices more productive and user-friendly as they look for ways to deploy them. In our history of virtualizing applications, we can give an organization the ability to really look at their app suite, do some application rationalization. In a lot of cases, applications that sit in the data center that have been there for 15, 20 years, they are not monitoring their usage. With our technology, you can virtualize that application, provide it unchanged as a client-server app to a remote device. You can monitor in the data center usage of that application, and then as you monitor that usage, you can make real informed decisions about, do I repurpose, do I rewrite that app for that device, or do I retire that application because nobody's using it? And I think with that kind of an approach, the government can not only save a lot of money by not rewriting applications for these devices that don't need to be rewritten, but we also get that transition period where we can provide it tomorrow to that remote device without doing any rewrites. And then as we rewrite it in such a way that not only do we make it user-friendly, but we also make it secure.
A lot of my listeners, believe it or not, will listen to this interview in 3 or 4 months. It'll be 100 degrees outside and people worrying about the Washington Nationals and Bryce Harper and everything else. And they'll type in Citrix and then listen to this at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I just want the listeners to know that, you know, maybe it is August when you're listening to this interview. You type in Tom Simmons or something. You know, you can go to Twitter and find out all kinds of topics and follow along. In fact, this conference, this Synergy Conference, has got a hashtag. And the hashtag is Build a Cloud Workshop. You can click over and find out. So if you're scratching your head trying to think about this now, there's no way you can't use social media. Find out what's going on. Maybe even look at maybe a webinar that was done next week here in May or June, wherever it is, and learn more about these decisions about what apps to use, what not apps to use, what about a secure environment. Because I'll bet that even 4 or 5 months, this topic's not going away. This whole idea of mobile and security, I mean, it can explode everywhere. And the people at the VA, they get beat up about it because they lose a notebook computer. There's thousands of computers are lost every day all across the United States. I think in New York City, there's 30,000 tablets a year lost in taxis alone. I mean, and the VA's got to pay the price because they lose one. It doesn't seem very fair. But I think if you just look at this, you know, I love this. Build a Cloud Workshop, okay? I'm sure they're going to ask a lot of the questions you just brought up, won't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, you talk about the use of social media and the ability to get things on demand. So first of all, just a quick advertisement. We do have a Twitter feed, at Citrix Federal. We also have a blog, blogs.citrix.com. And if you want to drill down to those that are specific to federal, it's blogs.citrix.com/tag/federal. And we do try to keep that updated with what we're seeing with implementation and government and so forth. Another important component for us is Citrix TV. It's we record and store on demand for on demand usage seminars and webinars and things like that. But the topic is very current and it is not going away. I think as we look at a more mobile user population, the next generation that's coming into government to do the work of government. Leverage of mobile technologies, leveraging the cloud so that we can keep costs to a minimum. You look at the average data center in Fed today, and it's probably over-provisioned by 70 or 80%. Day-to-day usage is in that 20 to 30% range. If I can provision a federal data center to normal usage at 100% and then just go to the cloud for peak demand, I scale up and scale down. I reduce my data center costs, the cost of the hardware, the cost of the storage, the cost of the cooling, the cost of running those devices tremendously.
Yeah. We got rid of our van when our kids grew up. So I have three grown kids, the same thing. I mean, you still have the van in the garage, but there's empty seats in there, yep. And data centers have empty seats or empty cycles, actually.
That little two-seat convertible looks real attractive.
It sure does. To my wife, at least, a little blue one. We know that. We're going to have to take a break when we get back, talk more about virtualization, maybe focus in on some blog and some social media applications. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tom Simmons. He's the Area Vice President for Citrix U.S. Public Sector.
The leader in informational seminars on federal benefits, financial, and retirement planning, NITP was established in 1984 and is 100% devoted to federal planning seminars. The mission is to educate federal employees and enable them to make fully informed decisions regarding their financial futures and retirement options. Through a variety of teaching platforms and seminars, NITP has the experience to help with your planning needs. Visit NITPinc.com. That's NITPinc.com for more information.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on 1500 AM at 10 AM. Please join me this week for my special guest, Thomas Seneca, partner with TM Wealth Management and head of alternative strategies. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax serving the entire D.C. metro area. If you'd like to know more about the firm, visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com.
To win and deliver government healthcare contracts successfully, you need to align with the right teaming partners. Moreover, with over 900 healthcare IT initiatives proposed in the 2013 federal budget, you need to begin building your healthcare IT teams now. Meet Tech Systems. Every year, Tech Systems deploys thousands of IT professionals at over 5,500 client sites nationwide, including more than 65 government agencies. Tech Systems Government Services offers a dedicated healthcare division to deliver practical healthcare IT solutions to the federal, state, and local government. No matter where you are on your meaningful use journey, Tech Systems can guide you through the transition. From providing managed services that tailor end-user training by role and workflow, to providing BI solutions that get you closer to your quality care goals. Tech Systems, our people make IT possible. Learn more at techsystems.com, TEKsystems.com.
What is the strategic vision for today's U.S. Air Force? How is the Air Force managing in an era of fiscal constraint? What is the Air Force doing to improve its operations and become more efficient and agile? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and much more with his very special guest, Aaron Connaughton, Undersecretary of the U.S. Air Force, next week on the Business of Government Hour.
Johnny Holiday for the Memorial Day Festival for Wounded Warriors at Great Meadow, home of the Gold Cup in Plains, Virginia. May 27th, a spectacular event is being staged for Wounded Warriors. Music, air show, and fun for the family. Free barbecue, beer, wine tasting, and more. To sponsor a tent, go to bfwwt.org or call 301-296-4408. For a limited time only, tickets are free. 301-296-4408 or go to bfwwt.org.
Here's Margie Graves, Deputy CIO DHS, on the Federal Executive Forum on Virtualization, sponsored by Informatica.
We have to solve the security issue, but once we get there, we're going to see a lot more teaming between hardware, software, and service provider vendors so that there are unified solutions brought to the federal government for our use in procurement.
Listen to the whole program made possible by Trezor Media Group. Log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Government IT leaders have one thing in common. All are challenged to do more with less while meeting the aggressive federal data center consolidation initiative mandates. Agencies can realize their data center consolidation goals by looking beyond the traditional bricks and mortar of consolidation to reduce infrastructure and utility costs. Informatica customers know that the true long-term savings come through a comprehensive application retirement, data archiving, and virtualization strategy. Visit Informatica.com today to see how they can help your organization.
Hi, welcome to Best Buy. May I help you?
Yeah, my car's entertainment system just isn't cutting it.
Easy answer. Get an HD radio receiver, 100% free digital sound, digital traffic, and great music choices from your local HD2, HD3 radio stations.
Well, what brands do you have?
Best Buy has new expanded HD radio inventory, Alpine, Kenwood, Pioneer, JVC, with prices as low as $120.
Wow, an HD radio digital entertainment center? Show me the way. HD radio, more radio, more value.
This is Mark Amtower. I've been advising contractors for almost 30 years, and when they need agency contacts, I always recommend Carroll's GovSearch. With over 350,000 contact listings and over 1,000 government organization charts, they help you find the people you need to reach in all levels of government. Give them a try. Get a free organization chart and a sample listing from their database. Contact Gordon Peel at 703-757-8228. Carroll Publishing, bringing government to you like no other.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tom Simmons. He is the Area Vice President for Citrix U.S. Public Sector. We have danced around the concept of virtualization all over the place. Let's talk about dynamic elasticity in the next couple of minutes. But first, we have to do the scientific nerdometer test to see if you're a card-carrying nerd. We'll tease the audience with that dynamic elasticity, bandwidth, and security. We want to find out if he really has a pocket protector. Okay, so here's 10 questions I ask all my guests. So the first question is, Tom, what year did you buy your first computer?
So I spent money out of my checking account in 1991, but I kind of have a cheat there. I went to a home office environment when I was working for Hayes back in 1985. So I had an IBM PC and a Hayes modem in my home office that I was authorized to use for personal use in 1985.
And 85 is probably a single floppy IBM PC, wasn't it? I bet it was.
5150. I think it was a dual floppy.
The big bucks. A dual floppy. Wow, I remember those too well. You're your first cell phone.
I carried an old Bell Atlantic bag phone in 1985 that later got installed in my car as a car phone, and I still have that same cell phone number today.
Wow, you're getting some nerd points here. Do you have a Twitter feed?
I do. TNS Fairfax.
TNS Fairfax, okay. And do you have a blog?
I do not.
Okay, and do you use any services for online personal backup?
I do. In fact, I use two.
Which ones?
I use the Cox backup that's provided with my
cable service,
and I use ShareFile, which is a technology that Citrix bought here about 3 or 4 months ago.
Eating the dog food, huh?
Absolutely.
Kind of smartphone you have?
I'm an Apple guy. I have an iPhone.
Number of apps on that bad boy?
It's probably in the 50 to 55 range.
Do you own a tablet device?
I do. I have an iPad for work, and I have an iPad for home.
Whoa, you're starting to get some nerd points, you know? Multiple iPads here. What social networking sites do you participate in?
Mostly LinkedIn and Facebook.
Okay, finally, last book you read, was it paper or electronic?
It was electronic.
You're getting some pretty good nerd points here.
Yeah,
you know? I mean, you're going to fool some people. People are going to say, well, he's not really that nerdy. Well, actually, there's two iPads.
I think I'm a wannabe nerd.
Yeah. I think the real ones have like 5 different types of tablet devices to try them all out and 10 different phones to try them all out.
So I was going to say, our CTO is definitely in that category. He's probably one of the first in line to buy the new tablet device, regardless of manufacturer. In fact, I walked by his desk the other day. He's got all 3 of his iPads, all 3 generations, an Android device, and he does this all under the guise of testing our technology.
Oh, yeah, testing it. Yeah, I understand that. That makes perfect sense. I am sure your CTO knows about NetScaler and how it handles this concept called dynamic elasticity. Back in 2001, remember what happened in September? Everyone hit the Washington Post site, and it had to rely on different technologies to be able to handle all those hits. I mean, I was writing for the newspaper at the time, and my column was there, and we talked about, you know, Kami and different technologies, and that's changed a whole lot. But I think, I mean, you hit the nail on the head just 5 minutes ago when you talked about, okay, what if your server now is 3 states away or 4 states away, and you have to worry about this whole concept of security and bandwidth, and that you have a tool called NetScaler that can assist in that. Is that right?
Absolutely. And NetScaler plays a couple of different roles when you're looking at access to information technology. The first and foremost, and probably most critical, is as we start consolidating data centers and putting processing capability at multiple data centers in our infrastructure and then eventually into the cloud, One of the functions that Netscaler brings to the table is this concept of global server load balancing. If I'm a user coming into your environment and I want to be able to get to an available server so that I get the best performance, Netscaler monitors where activity, network traffic, server utilization is taking place, and it routes that connection to the best possible server farm or cloud resource for that particular connection scenario, time of day, use requirement, whatever. So Netscaler is a critical component in these things. We talk a lot about the fact that the most busiest websites in the world rely on Netscaler technology. Folks from Amazon, from Google, from MSN all utilize this technology to make sure customers have the best experience when they're accessing their web infrastructure. In addition, especially in the federal government today, Netscaler provides an authentication capability and an SSL VPN tunnel so that I can maintain a secure connection that anybody that might try to hack into doesn't see any meaningful data. It's all a series of zeros and ones that don't have meaning unless you've got keys at both ends. In today's environment, with DoD especially, but we're seeing more and more CAT card authentication and implementation in civilian agencies, Netscaler also supports the authentication of users via multi-factors, so username, password, CAT card, biometrics, whatever. And then finally, for denial of service, attack protection, and things like that, Netscaler has a application-level firewall. It's a Layer 7 firewall capability that is not redundant to the level 3 networking layer firewalls that are out there. This is the ability to make sure that I'm looking at the content and preventing data that is formatted like a serial number from going back out of my data center or sending multiple responses to an initial query and preventing a denial of service attack.
If you want to hear what I have to say about this interview, I'll be blogging about this at my company site, Armature Corp. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I am at Ray Gilray. Well, I'll be referring to this interview and maybe pointing to some maybe pictures of Tom with all his technical devices. Now is the time in the show, Tom, where I have to get the crystal ball and say, well, geez, you know, you made a statement about Citrix growing to $5 billion. I mean, where is Citrix going to head the next few years? You really think that's going to, I mean, that's bragging there, buddy. I mean, that's a reasonable goal.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's one that comes with a whole lot of measured vision from our corporate leadership. But that division doesn't happen in a vacuum. I mean, our customers that participate in our synergy events and user groups and things like that are telling us where they see their requirements going, and we combine that with our capabilities, and we come with a vision. I think where Citrix is going, we've placed a big bet on desktop virtualization and that being commoditized to the point where it is a very well-accepted and tested way of delivering a workspace. Our philosophy is work is what you do, not where you go. And our corporate motto is provide a world where people can work or play from anywhere. And I think as you see the evolution of mobility requirements, telework requirements, cloud infrastructure, data center consolidation, all of these things go into this, all right, I've got to be able to build, position, and manage my application and information technology resources so that folks can get to them from anywhere, whether it's by design or by act of God. And I think as you see just a logical evolution of virtual computing, of the networking technologies and resources that go along with that, and then our software as a service offerings from GoToMeeting and GoToMyPC, that path to $5 billion is very obvious.
We'll have to end the interview now. Kind of running out of time. We've talked about hardware virtualization, desktop virtualization, software, memory, storage, all kinds of virtualization topics here with Tom Simmons. He's the Area Vice President for Citrix U.S. Public Sector. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.